Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode 53 of Absolutely Intercultural. Today we will hear various stories of students who have left their home countries to experience a university or a work placement abroad. The intercultural challenges of such experiences seem to be the culturally determined differences in how the foreigners approach international teamwork.
Having these different attitudes and views about teamwork and getting this together, this was more important.
Being abroad and experiencing these differences opens the opportunity to use the period away from your friends and your family for some experimentation with one's own personality.
For other people I saw, they got the opportunity to be somebody else for 5 months.
Receiving financial support from a scholarship organization for studying or working abroad is not reserved to students with the best academic results. It is a whole bundle of qualifications that will be looked at.
Again, it's the whole package that counts. It's not only about the marks or grades.
Maybe the best preparation for planning your stay abroad might be helping someone else preparing this step. Apparently, getting involved in the preparation can prove contagious.
After she started to plan her semester abroad, the idea came to my mind also.
But let us start with the show and let's come to our first category, absolutely student-centered. You may remember that in her last show, Anne interviewed two teachers, Denora from Kaunas University and Scott from Worcester University, about our Erasmus-funded intensive seminar we had organized in Achill Island, Ireland. In order to complete the picture, I spoke to Asya from Germany and Emma from Spain, two of the 40 learners from 10 different countries who took part in this experience and who analyze it from the students' point of view. As our Erasmus Intensive Seminar brings together students from Kaunas in Lithuania, Worcester in England, Remagen in Germany, Budapest in Hungary and Brighton in England on a beautiful island in the west of Ireland, there is no shortage of intercultural experiences there. The students seem to enjoy being taken out of their regular academic environment and to work in internationally mixed workshops, much like in a multinational company. During this seminar, they can put their theoretical knowledge from their lectures at home, such as intercultural communication, into practice in a concrete community project. International teamwork and leadership seem to be the biggest challenges in the workshops, which are student-centered and where we, the teachers, turn into real facilitators who only organize the learning space in the background. Obviously, it was not easy to work with so many culturally determined working styles, but apparently the language barriers were not felt to be a real obstacle.
I think language wasn't a problem. It was more about getting along with different nationalities and different ways of thinking. There was enough different levels of English, but in the end, everyone understood each other.
Well, what I liked about it from a teacher's point of view was actually that language was not the main thing. It was really only a vehicle. It was only a means to communicate. And so nobody corrected each other. They were only interested in getting the articles at the right time, and they needed to communicate to get that done.
There were some other things that were more important than the language. It was more, in my workshop, it was more about teamwork, working together in a small group, and having these different attitudes and views about teamwork and getting this together. This was more important.
And the participation was clear and really good, that the teachers weren't teachers, they were moderators, which gave more space to students to think and to participate in their own kind of way.
Yeah, and the teachers were more like a part of the team, not teachers just staying in front of a group and teaching. They were part of the team and we had discussions and it was really good.
And also I think it was clear to all the students that the language level was not something that students would be judged by.
And the placement being in Echo, the different way of that no one felt at home, that everyone was in a different environment, was a good thing for language too, because everyone tried to communicate more.
Well, I think it is a certain advantage that we don't take all the students to one of the participating universities. I mean, this would be possible. In fact, most of the other intensive programs do that. And then maybe all the participants from the other countries would come to my university in Germany or to the university in Budapest or to the university in Kaunas. But I really think that this is a clear advantage that we take them somewhere else out of their normal study life. And yes, it's a new experience for everybody.
And this different environment makes everyone have more time. Normally they would be at home thinking about other things to do, and here they had time to think about what the workshops were going to be and had more creativity.
Yeah, and we were all very keen on exploring the same things, and not that someone is showing us something from the different group. We all wanted to explore the island and the Irish cultures, and we all wanted to meet the people from Echo Island.
And exploring wasn't a problem if you do a mistake, because everyone was trying to participate and do their best in this project, and that was the aim.
Well, that makes me very happy, because that is really the aim, to give people a platform, to give them an opportunity to put into practice what they've learned in their studies, and to provide this opportunity. But also, as you just said, in a kind of sheltered environment where it isn't a big problem if you get something wrong.
You said something about learning what we have learned at university. I've learned something that I've never learned at university before. I've learned something about managing and, as I said, this teamwork stuff. And these are the things that you can't learn in a really safe environment at university. You have to experience these, and you make experience that you have never thought about before.
Well, I always find that students spend a little too much time in conventional classrooms where they see pie charts and graphs and everything. And maybe they even learn something about communication, or, as you say, teamwork, for example. But we learn it on page 98 of a textbook, or maybe a very interesting lecture about it. But it's relatively rare that we actually spend the time to give the students the opportunity to then try it out and to put it into practice. And I found there's a big difference whether we talk about producing a mission statement, and all my students learn how to do that from a textbook, but actually making a mission statement for our excursion to Ireland was quite a different matter, and students found it relatively difficult to do that.
I think the point of the making everything into practice is the best way of learning. I think maybe with a textbook we wouldn't have learned all of these things.
For me personally, I can say that in the media workshop I've learned that managing is nothing you've learned from textbooks. I've learned that I never want to chase after people again and hunting for articles for the travelogue. It was really difficult for me.
Are you saying you were suffering during that time?
Yes, a little bit. It was. At the end, I really got the impression everyone is looking at me and hoping, no, please don't talk to me. I don't want it so much. It was so much work. And I had the impression, okay, she's a person that she's giving out the work and no one really likes her in the end.
Even if we knew that it was only a workshop, in the end it was our work, like in a real life. We were motivated enough to create the situation as if it was a real situation.
Maybe this was the reason why I was so chasing after people and telling them three times a day, okay, please write this article, we really need this, because in the end we had to make this travel egg and we wanted to make it good. So yeah.
That's what several of the managers said in the end, that actually they would have preferred not to be the manager of that job, but actually to do the job, because they would have preferred to do that. Maybe you can tell us about this manager job that you had. You were PR manager.
Yeah, that's right. And that was completely different, because and that a manager job, I could write the work, the articles, and send them to the Mayo News, and bringing in my own thoughts. And here in the workshop, it was really telling people what they had to do. And explain then what the article should be about. The manager job was completely different, so I could bring in my own thoughts.
Maybe you should explain a little to our listeners, because you got a real job for this excursion, and yet you are a student on that excursion. How did that work?
There were several manager jobs we could apply for. I think with five or six, and I applied for the PR, emergency and contact manager. And I wrote a really application with a CV and a letter of motivation. And the other workshops or the other universities choose the right student for it, and I got the job in the end.
So Asya was selected by the other students for the post as the PR manager and did a very good job indeed. She managed to place five newspaper articles in the local papers before, during and after our intensive seminar on ACL. So the whole learning experience was very well documented in the local press. Going abroad, whether for a seminar of 2 weeks or for studying a semester at a university, is all about changing and getting to know your own personality better and discovering new aspects of yourself. In our category, Absolutely Changeable, Maria Koenen tells us about her experiences at Antwerp University in Belgium and how she noticed that some of her fellow students were actively experimenting and trying out a different style in their lives, far away from their friends and family. Getting an opportunity to try out a new role in life in a sheltered environment seems like a good idea in order to learn how to handle people in an international context. So being abroad is certainly not just about learning a new language, even though this is also useful as a door opener, especially for languages such as Dutch, which are not often part of the regular curriculum.
I studied 5 months abroad in Antwerp, which is in the Flemish part of Belgium, and I studied there for 5 months European business studies.
And I know that you got a scholarship. This was an Erasmus scholarship. How did you get that?
It was pretty easy. I applied around half a year before I actually left at my university at the international office, got the place, got the Erasmus scholarship, and everything went well.
What does Erasmus mean? I mean, how does this work, this exchange? Do you know?
It's an exchange program for students of Europe to go to study in another European country. And the European Union gives a certain amount of money and help to finance and do this exchange.
Okay. What did you get out of your stay?
For me, it was not about learning the language because I've been in England beforehand. For me, it was more to get the opportunity to make new experiences. The first thing was really to study something else. In Germany, I study health and social services management. And in Antwerp, I studied European business study, which is really something, it's still business, but it's something completely different. I had subjects like European politics, European law, and international business, whereas my German studies are always focused on the German market.
This opened a new perspective for you, a more international perspective?
Yes, I really think my university should change something, maybe. And yes, I want to be, for myself, I want to be more open and more focused on the international market and not only Germany, but I can also do this for myself.
So by going abroad, you opened a new perspective for yourself because you were studying subjects which at your home university you cannot really study. Did you also do different things in your private life, maybe? Or did you observe others who changed their lives a little bit during the stay abroad?
The first thing is I was in contact with a lot of Erasmus students, and to meet all the people from the different European countries was really interesting for me, especially people from the or students from the countries from the new European member states who were really different from German students, for example, like really working hard and not like the German students, we'll see what comes tomorrow. And on the other hand, I really for myself, but for other people I saw, they got the opportunity to be somebody else for 5 months, and I think they take this bit home because maybe they come from a small town, live still with their parents, and go for the first time abroad, experience that they can be somebody else if they behave different.
So you're saying they were experimenting somehow actively, or did that just happen to them? They were trying out a different role in life? Is that what you're saying?
Some people really did. I had one friend and she was from Switzerland, and she, I think she was a complete different person than at home. She also said this. She experienced to go out at night, yeah, to party, to be with friends, to live in a share in a house of with students. And normally in Switzerland, I think she's just a student who studies and in the evening studies also, but now she knows also how to live.
So do you think that that is a good idea to learn how to party and get financed by Erasmus?
It's not also about the party, but I think now she's more open for other people and she can be, yeah, she was not really good in being with other people before she did Erasmus. And I think this is something you have to know, actually, to handle other people, how you, to be open and everything. And this is what she learned.
Did the same happen to you during your stay?
I had my long stay abroad already when I was 19. So I think this was my really big experience. So in Antwerp, it was for me, yeah, I also enjoyed being with the others, but I didn't really get somebody new.
Can you remember from your experience in England things that changed for your life during that experience?
Oh.
Are you prepared to share that with us?
I think a lot of things changed there for me. I was 19, I was really young, I didn't really know other people. And to be abroad for the first time, to experience good and bad things, it's a really new thing there. I did social work, it really opened everything for me. And it changed my mind about what I want to study afterwards.
This is really interesting for me because when I see students before they leave, they very often only talk about I want to learn the language, and they think that that is the main thing. And when they come back, they very often don't even mention the language any longer. Now, you've been to a country where people don't really expect you to know the language. For example, your classes in Antwerp were probably in English, all of them?
Yes, all of my classes were in English, but I had a Dutch course at the beginning of the semester, 3 weeks intensive language course, and then during the semester we had every week also 3 hours of Dutch.
But would you say that this is really necessary? Because students often ask me when they go to the Netherlands or to Belgium or even to Sweden, whether they have to learn the language of the country. What would you say after your experience?
I really used my Dutch afterwards, and I had other Erasmus students with me who didn't do the course, and they couldn't say a word in Dutch, they couldn't read the newspaper, they couldn't order something in Dutch, they couldn't even read the menu in a restaurant.
But doesn't even everybody speak German or English?
Yes, I think everybody speaks English, but it's more open, more friendly to speak also the language of the country you live in. For me, I always try to order something in Dutch, and when people in the restaurant also answer in Dutch, you know you're good.
Learning the language of the country and finding out more about the cultural backgrounds does not only open doors once you're in the new country, but maybe even before. Many students need financial support for their experience abroad, whether they intend to study or do a work placement in a company. In order to secure a scholarship, students need to be convinced of themselves and their abilities, and they need to point to a whole package of qualifications, not just good academic results. In our category Absolutely Successful, I spoke to an expert, Barbara Neukirchen, who is on the jury of several scholarship organizations and shares her secrets of how you can place a successful application for a scholarship. I asked her whether it is only the best students who can hope to receive financial support.
No, this is a mistake people often make. You don't have to be excellent to win a scholarship, but you have to be convincing in the whole package. So what is the whole package for you? Certainly you should show your motivation to the scholarship companies.
But how can you do that? I mean, the first step is probably just on paper. How can you show your motivation? I can understand that you can do that in an interview, but on paper?
Well, you have to be well informed, and you have to have gathered a lot of information about the country you're going to go to. And what people want to know from you is, why do you choose this country? And why don't you go to another one?
So you have to convince about the country and also about the place where you want to work, maybe?
Well, sure, but that's not all. There are other things you have to pay attention to. For example, show what you are doing better than other people, which means, are you socially engaged, or do you work honorarily for social clubs and organizations, etc.? And what about your preparation? What about your intercultural abilities and preparation? What about your international experience and preparation.
And you put all that into the paperwork already. So do you put that into your CV or into the motivation letter? What do you suggest to the students?
Well, actually, there's no difference, no real difference. You have to put it in your CV, in a whole list, in a chronological list. And I don't think what you once have written in your CV will be read. No, what you write in your application is a sort of highlights of your CV.
So you say this is like a bit of an advertisement for yourself. In fact.
Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is.
The students often say, when I encourage them to do something like that, they say, yeah, but that was only a two-week job which I did during my holidays. Do you face the same problem, that they don't take their own work seriously enough?
Well, there's a saying, it says, paper is patience in German, but it's not a lie. If you mention it, that you have done it, it's better than not mentioning it because you think it's not good enough to mention.
Now, I know that for some scholarships, you don't get a lot of money. For others, you get a lot of money. What do you advise students which ones to apply for? I assume that the ones which pay more are more difficult to get?
It depends on some factors. For example, if you try to go to a country that is not very well-liked by many people, you will have more chances to get money. If you decide to go to countries where there's a run on these countries, it will be more difficult. And certainly, where you get more money, this will be more difficult in handing in the application documents.
So you're saying for a student who maybe doesn't have very good marks, it might be a good strategy to identify a country which is maybe not so popular?
Yeah, kind of. But again, it's the whole package that counts. It's not only about the marks or grades.
So if you have a lot of time to prepare for your internship, what can you do, let's say, 18 months before you go? Because we teachers always encourage the students to apply as early as possible. What's the advantage of being early, of having so much time before you leave?
If you start your preparations early in your studies, you have the possibility to really prepare everything very well, which means you could prepare your language skills, which is a very important point. You could get in contact with important people like your lecturers and professors who might know internship placements, etc., in foreign countries. And certainly, if you start your preparations early in your studies, you will be able to write better applications and better structured applications.
Now, what do you say to students who only have like 4 or 6 months left?
Well, they have to be very good and convincing without having more time. But that does not mean that only the best could win scholarships. They have to do some extra work, some extra preparations, but should get in contact with their home institutions. They will surely support them.
I know that you have quite a good rate of success for making students get their scholarships. How do you know what the criteria are?
You can see if people are really convinced about their plans and they want to go to special countries, or if they just saw a movie in the weekend and decided to go, maybe.
So to sum it all up, what would you say are the maybe 3 or 5 top criteria that almost every scholarship organization would look for in the incoming applications?
I would like to advise that people should hand in very good applications and motivations. They should show their preparations, like language skills and intercultural and international preparations. And last but not least, show your personal qualifications, like honorary employment or maybe hobbies, whatever it is or could be. And remember that the whole package will count, and show your motivation, and then maybe you can fly tomorrow.
In order to prepare the whole package, and indeed your whole visit, you may find it useful to listen to the professional advice of the staff in the international office of your university. They can help you with information concerning partner universities, placement opportunities in foreign companies, or, as Barbara told us, they can coach you to find the right scholarship and write a winning application. However, students also need support from their friends and family, because there can be moments when it looks as if the whole world was against you and your foreign project. In our category, Absolutely Contagious, I heard from Peter Krohn, who helped his girlfriend plan her semester at a university in China, that helping someone with a planning infects you like a virus, and you want to try this out too. I asked Peter what exactly his girlfriend is doing in China and how he helped her with the preparation for her experience.
She's going to stay for 6 months and she's coming back in August, studying somehow a little mix between intercultural psychology and business administration.
I thought she was doing an internship. Is that not the case?
It's running parallel, so she's doing an internship with her professor, who is somehow creating a consulting enterprise which wants to help other enterprises with the communication between different cultures.
Now, you helped her prepare, I heard a couple of times from you. Next week I'm going to help my girlfriend prepare. What kind of preparation is necessary when you make such a big step?
A lot, first of all. We have to say it's most of the time it's just general stuff like booking flights, getting a visa, planning stuff at your own university, at the new university. But when you see, oh, there's just a little bit time left, you start planning your luggage, which clothes you're going to take with you when you stay 6 months and there are, I don't know, minus 10 degrees and plus 30 degrees, and you don't know, take the winter clothes or the summer clothes, and can I perhaps buy something in China, which I would say very easy, so you don't have to take all of your stuff with.
What was it like for you when your partner makes such a big step in life? I mean, this is something very important. She's going to come back changed and everything. Did that give you ideas as well to do something similar?
Well, actually, she also says it's my fault that we are not going to see for somehow a year, because after she started to plan her semester abroad, the idea came to my mind also. And I started to apply for a semester abroad, and I hope I will leave in August when she's coming back to Germany. So perhaps we're only going to meet in China, and then I'm going to fly back and make the next step into the next country.
Right, so maybe she can visit you as well. How do you communicate while you are apart? Do you use Skype and things, or how do you do this?
Well, yeah, we love the internet right now because there are not much possibilities. You can't write letters every day or something like that, because they just need 3-4 weeks until they reach your partner. And so we use Skype, ICQ, and somehow sometimes her professor visits Germany and I can give her some presents with, like German chocolate or cappuccino, stuff like that, because this easy stuff is what you miss when you are in China, because you don't get them.
Can I ask you something personal? How long have you been together?
We have been together when she left for 14 months.
So, I mean, as a student, and you've only been together for 14 months, do you have a feeling that your relationship will survive these big steps?
Actually, it's quite difficult, for sure. I mean, not seeing for a long time is not easy in a young relationship. But I think we are doing quite a good job up to now, and we don't see any problems to make this step. And we wanted to make this step. It's important for both of us to go abroad, and I think we can manage this situation very good.
Well, let us keep our fingers crossed for the two of them so that their relationship will not only survive, but even grow along with their year-long separation and their abundance of intercultural challenges. From my own experience, I can say that it is very rewarding to spend your life with a partner who has had the chance to have as international a background as yourself. Now, in our last category, absolutely linguistic, which I hope will turn into a regular column, Maria shares a short piece of advice how she improved her English by always having a little booklet and a pen with her when she was in England.
When I was in England, I always had a little booklet with me, and every word I didn't know, if I heard it or read it in the newspaper, I always wrote it down and sometimes asked the people around me what it was, or looked it up in the dictionary in the evening at home. And I, like this, I really remembered some words and practiced some words. Otherwise, I think it's not so often that you pick every word up and remember it afterwards.
I'm afraid we are coming to the end of our show. If you can relate to any of the stories that we shared with you today, please get in touch with us through our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. We would really like to hear about your experiences with studying or working abroad. Or maybe you have a suggestion which intercultural topics Anne and I could bring up in one of our next shows. please feel free to suggest what you would like to be discussed on this show. We do try to make this podcast as good as possible, but maybe there are some ways that we haven't even thought about. Absolutely Intercultural is all about sharing intercultural experiences and starting discussions, so we are always looking forward to your feedback. Our next show will be coming to you from Denmark on the 4th of April. So long, stay tuned. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.